It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's the game plan with Rain and Matt.
X go give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X go deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the nonstop pop out from stainless steel.
Yeah, it's stainless steel. It shines like a freshly waxed floor. Can I still be the worldwide leader in bald?
You can do whatever you want.
I'm Rain. How are you? Good afternoon. Matt Page, the glue guy, along for the ride today. It's a Wednesday. We're in game with the New York Yankees. That is actually on our brother station. I should point that out. We will discuss the New York Yankees today. I also want to make mention, because then I can thank William Matar. If you're hurt in a car, you call William Matar. 444-4444. 444-4444. Is that the right number of fours?
Yes, I believe so.
Got it right, obviously. We'll throw a 315 area code in there, thanks to William Matar.
I have a hard time counting.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Chris Stacy. We brought him back. It's been a couple of weeks. He's joined us a few times with NYY Sports Talk. Just great insight on the New York Yankees. We spoke to him earlier today. Okay, full disclosure, knocked down the fourth wall, pre-recorded interview. We're going to talk to him everything that has happened up until the first pitch today. We're not going to cover the game that's currently in progress. We'll get after that tomorrow. We'll get an update later on in the Sportszilla Show. But everything that we've seen through last night's loss, we had Yankees on deck last night, and we were saying best case scenario expectations for Jameson Taillon.
Don't put we into this. I asked you the expectations. You said Jameson Taillon is going to go at least six.
That's correct, work husband. Thank you for putting me in my place.
I got you.
Fact of the matter is, yes, I said best case scenario, we'd see this. We got worst case scenario, and Ryu was exactly as expected. That discussion will hit the airwaves at about 2:30. The Accelerate Sports Complex phone lines today also will include Mark Larson, who is going to cover a lacrosse Zoom. So you'll hear from him about lacrosse if that's something you're into. That happens at about 3:30. So we'll talk to him at 3:15 until about 2:29 and 30 seconds. We'll give him just enough time to click the tab and get in on that Zoom. That's going to happen. Alexander Ackerman with Sin Bin News covers the Syracuse Crunch, going to join us today. Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup game number 6 is tonight. So the Comets returned the favor that the Crunch delivered to them a couple days back. Was it Saturday night? 5-1 Crunch until last night when it was 5-1 Comets. Oof, what a crazy back and forth series this is. So now I think the Comets lead the season series 3-2.
I believe you're right on that,
ultimately,
yes.
As it's all said and done. There's a bunch to cover with her. There's call-ups affecting this. They were down to 5 defensemen. That, of course, affects the team when you got to bring a forward to the back line to play defense. That'll hit at about 3:30 today. That's the basic game plan. We've got Does It Matter in a couple of minutes. We'll get to Odds Makers in segment number 2. You're killing me, Smalls. That is our sports festivus or airing of the grievances. What makes us go, oh, you're killing me, Smalls, and then roll our eyes. You're welcome, by the way, to interject in any of this at Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. And it was interesting when you looked and you saw Orange Nation.
Yeah, I was shocked. Mario Sacco sitting there.
Our boy Mario Sacco. He not only tweeted at us, but also texted me a picture. You'll never guess what it pertains to.
Let me guess. It wasn't bowling.
No.
It wasn't eating ice cream.
No.
So it had to have been fishing.
Wasn't pizza. The food thing seems to be with Mark Larson.
That's correct.
Those two, a lot of respect and love there. Of course, reporters, anchors in Central New York, and they have a lot of fun and a lot of respect, and they like to take lighthearted jabs at each other. So I think when it comes to fishing, we talk to Mario. When it comes to food, we talk to Mark, and sports with both of them. It was nice to see Mario stepping in for Paulie Sibilia. Paulie, I've been through it, bud. I understand what you're going through, my man. Get healthy very soon. Shout out to Paulie Sibilia, our radio brother. Hey, waka waka. That being said, it was good to see him on there. And yes, he caught one. That's the whole
Finally.
Point of the tweet and the picture. He caught a fish. Last couple of times we talked to Mario, he's basically saying, I'm the worst fisherman ever. I can't catch anything. I go out there. But isn't that really the point? It's a pastime.
To get out of the house.
To relax.
It's fun.
Maybe a little sunshine. But he finally caught a fish. I believe we've retweeted that, so you can see that. It's amazing the fishing and bowling conversations that we have had. I almost want to bring back the 7:10 split audio and soundcheck a little later. I left that one out. That's at 3 o'clock. It is ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show. And I think we're ready to go. Dude, I just want you to ask me some questions. I mean,
are you ready?
I think I laid everything out, right, that we got to get to. We're going to talk TBT. I wanted to put that in there.
Yes.
Just plan on hearing a little bit about TBT. And you know what? Possibly some Q's football. I got a couple things off to the side.
And TBT, you're not talking about throwback Thursday or anything like that.
No, I'm talking about the basketball tournament, winner take all for a million. I think it's getting a little bit closer to normal. It's not officially announced as of yet. It could come at any moment. But we heard Devo last week tell us, right here on the Sports Illa Show and the James Mitsubishi Sports Illa Show podcast, in case you missed it, in all of the usual places, you can go subscribe and listen at your leisure or go back in time on demand, because everything we put at Q Sports Talk, from Orange Nation to On the Block with Brent Axe and the Sports Illa Show, is there for you. He told us, I'm in shape. I'm ready. We're expecting a team. So I think we kind of know this is going to happen. I'm going to break it down into four regions again. They're not going to bubble this year. There's a lot to get to, and I can't wait. Needless to say, you can tell by my energy, I'm excited.
You're
for
ready
that.
To go.
If you remember TBT and the way they did it, they laid the groundwork for us to get back to sports. They did.
They did.
They really did. They showed that it could happen in the middle of a pandemic that we are still dealing with.
And so, I feel like the NBA and the WNBA took a lot of notes watching that tournament.
So needless to say, we digress. So we were intending to get to Doesn't Matter, and now we can do that. Are you? Oh, that's my responsibility today.
You're running rejoins again today.
That's right. You do this to me sometimes. Okay, bear with me, and I'll get us ready. And of course, the computer never wants to cooperate.
I don't even have music to play for you right now. you're on your own.
All right, you ready for some questions?
Sure.
All right, my friend.
Does it matter? It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
Does it matter that Jack Eichel is out for the season for the Buffalo Sabres?
So yeah, there's like a pinched nerve or a bulging disc or something going on in his neck?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
So he's just going to shut it down so he can be healthy for next season. I don't think he minds. He can't stand playing for the Sabres. He just can't.
I know around the trade deadline, you and Rick DiIulio were talking about the potential of him ending up on your Rangers.
There was a lot of speculation that was going to happen. Of course, the Sabres did end up making some moves, and there was quite a few with the trade deadline, which just passed. Needless to say, I wonder if the Rangers are in sight for him or something is going to be worked out somewhere where he gets out of Buffalo. He's pushing 20. He's 24. He's pushing 25, right? I'm not exactly sure what his birthday is, but needless to say, young, elite, and doesn't want to be there anymore. It might make actually, you know what? You think about it, before the trade deadline for the Rangers, for example, they had salary cap. I mean, some teams do. They're up against the salary cap.
Yep.
And this just might make it easier to figure out in the offseason if that's a move they wanted to make, or another team for that matter. Yeah, it matters when somebody's that good and that young and could potentially be healthy and ready to join another team. While that's a great player to get on your team, I'm happy with what Brad has been doing for the Rangers fans. Artemi Panarin.
There you go.
Brad, as they call him, is just, he's got some phenomenal numbers. About 1.4 points per game, which in the current day and age in the NHL is elite. We'll move on. Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio. Next question.
Does it matter that we could possibly see Bills fans at full capacity with the vaccination?
That's what they're saying. And of course, you sit there and go, wait a minute. It's Buffalo Bills there in Western New York. Then down in, that's across the border in New Jersey. They have to follow New Jersey's guidelines.
That's
technically
correct.
Because Bills Mafia likes to remind everybody there's only one football team in New York. They have kept the majority of their lineup, their starting lineup, together. They kept the band together. They were good last year. So not only is Bills Mafia going to be good, but you're going to have butts in seats, assuming.
Which only helps.
You got the vaccination. And I feel like that needs to trickle down into our next segment called What Are the Odds, where we'll perhaps discuss that a little bit further.
I like it.
That's what they call a tease. What's your next question, Glue Guy?
So we just touched on it, but does it matter that Boeheim's Army expects to have a team again this year?
Yeah, and you know, it makes me sit here and wish list. You know, Trish, I mean, Demetrius, who's on it? So you want a Twitch poll? Do we have one yet?
No, we don't.
Why don't we? Who do you want to see on Boeheim's Army?
I'd love to see Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, that's another one. There's a lot of guys I would love to see on that team. Can Roosevelt, our buddy Roosevelt, you think he would consider, maybe not at this point?
I think he would need to have a lot of ice cubes on his knees, but I think he could do it.
I'm sitting in my house on Sunday, okay, and I'm going to brag and name drop, all right? It has nothing to do with a call into the radio or a Sports Illustrated show or anything like that. I just get a random text from Rosie of a boat, and it's in his garage, and there's a couple of other boats in the background, but somebody donated a boat to him, and he has taught himself by basically watching videos how to renovate or refinish this boat.
Wow.
And then you know what he does? Speaking of fishing, by the way, it seems to be a big topic. He then takes underprivileged children out and he teaches them to fish.
That's amazing.
That is absolutely awesome. So I just thought I would pass that along. Does that make me cool?
It makes him cool.
It'd be even cooler if I could go fishing with Roosevelt. Boy, he lives right on the water. So next question, ESPN Radio Sports Illustrated Show, and this is called Does It Matter?
Does it matter that Jadeveon Clowney is signing with the Browns for $10 million for 1 year?
That could be an awesome signing for them.
Yes, it can. He said no to the Browns last year. Obviously didn't have a great season last year.
Right.
So now he's coming back to the Browns going, okay, maybe I team up with Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. We form a deadly duo on the defensive end position and see what we can do.
Boy, they're going to have a pretty good defense. They're a pretty good football team last year.
Yes.
They had a lot of success, so there's a lot of confidence to build off offensively. They've got the right coach in place, it feels now, because Freddie Kitchens, is that what we called him?
Yes.
Freddie Kitchens is now on the Giants staff and actually got a little promotion from Joe Judge, but he's not in Cleveland, and that's probably better for the Browns. And adding Jadeveon Clowney and that potential, oof.
It's deadly.
You know what? Keep an eye on the Cleveland Browns. If they stay healthy and everything clicks again next year, it's going to be a good football team.
So I feel like the Browns are going to be good this year, as well as the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, with the moves that they made. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, J.J. Watt's got to be healthy.
Correct.
And Chandler Jones got to recover and get back to full health. And then they've made some other moves.
Are we on a collision course between an Arizona and a Cleveland Super Bowl?
Is that going to happen? Is that potential?
Possible.
If so, you heard it here first. If not, forget that we ever said that.
There we go.
There'll be a lot more, by the way, when we get to sound check just after 3 o'clock in hour number two. We'll make sure to talk about the National Football League. Does it matter? Do we have time for one more?
Yes, I got one more. Do you want to play the audio for this?
I could if you would. No, I want to save this.
Okay.
I want to save this. Let's just talk about it quick. Another tease for soundcheck a little bit later. There is audio. I actually added a piece of audio to the piece of audio that you had on this very subject.
I see. I'll say.
It's a double tease.
Okay. So does it matter that Anthony Edwards, rookie for the Minnesota Timberwolves, has no clue who Alex Rodriguez is?
You should have said Mrs. J-Lo, and he would have known.
Well, they're not Mr. and Mrs. J-Lo anymore, are they?
So they broke up, called off the engagement, but it appears they're working it out.
Sure.
Because A-Rod's a little bit of a dog, according to gossip columns. Not that I read those or really I care, but I thought about this. Anthony Edwards, when it comes to A-Rod and other investors buying the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Lynx, by the way, in the WNBA, Anthony Edwards' response is basically, A-Rod?
Who?
New owner? Who dis? Like the new phone?
Yeah, the reporter asked him if he's a fan of A-Rod. He's like, who?
You think he knows who J-Lo is, though?
Definitely.
I'm going to say yes to that.
But is it funny someone his age doesn't know who A-Rod is?
Yes and no.
It's telling.
Yes and no, I suppose.
I mean, look, if you don't care about baseball, then you don't care about baseball.
A-Rod, come on, man. Yeah, he might not be watching. I mean, he's a broadcaster now. He might not be watching Sunday Night Baseball.
I feel like A-Rod's one of those guys that you see on commercials, so you should know who he is at least.
He's beyond sports. He's pop culture, and especially when you are with J-Lo. Let's just call him Mrs. J-Lo from now on. Anytime we talk about him,
you can call him Mrs. J-Lo.
I'm going to do that. Bad Beats, our version of Bad Beats, an homage to SVP. Odds makers, or what are the odds? The question and the segment we'll give you next on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show.
What are the odds? This is Odds Makers. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
So we're going to talk New York Yankees up until the first pitch of today, pre-recorded with Chris Stacy next. Kind of analyze what we've seen so far. He's with NYY Sports Talk, so you can stand by for that just a few minutes away. Currently, though, the Yankees are in game. Judges hit two home runs. Toronto's up 3-2. They've also hit two home runs. Obviously, there's accumulated one more run than the New York Yankees, so you assume it's two solo shots. Well, you just know.
Yes.
From Aaron Judge. The Judge's Chambers. even though they're in Dunedin. Is there a judges chambers there? What a small ballpark.
It's a very small ballpark.
It's bizarre to see a regular season major league game like that. You know what I mean? It was weird seeing it in Buffalo in a AAA park, let alone. It's just, here we go. Pandemic, COVID, still a thing. We're dealing with it. But hey, at least we're playing the games. So it's time to throw some percentages or odds on some subjects in and around the world of sports. I'm going to let you start out today, Matt Page. Blue Guy, what's the first one?
So we talked about this on Twitch a couple days ago, but South Park's is having a specialty shoe with the character Towelie on it. Adidas is making the shoe. What are the odds you would want to rock one of those?
And I just suggested Family Guy or South Park references taking over the Twitch chat, because it seems like the weird stuff always kind of goes there, and some sports discussion. But the odds that I would buy this, it's powder blue, by the way, kind of like the Blue Jays uniforms today. I don't know if you caught that. But it's got the little eyeballs.
Well, Towelie is blue.
He's a towel. So it's the color scheme, and the eyeballs are actually on the tongue of the Adidas shoe.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, I would wear those. I would 100% wear those.
How much money would you spend on one of those? If your wife wasn't there, harassing you the whole time.
More than I'd care to admit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll just leave it. The odds are I would spend more than I should. How about this one? We're talking Yankees a little bit. Aroldis Chapman's splitter is, and I'm going to use words that it has been described by others.
Okay, I'll count them for you.
Gross, disgusting, nasty. And on top of that, it makes him basically unhittable at the moment. Adding this pitch and the fact that he is back up to 102 miles an hour. Remember he's dipped down where he's 98, 100. I think he kind of had that shoulder thing for a while. But he's good now. And everybody says he shouldn't work out like a fiend if you're a pitcher. He is jacked. He's in great shape, and he just keeps himself, his body in pristine condition, and he is healthy right now. And you add that pitch in, and then if you look at the overlays of that juxtaposed against the heater, wow.
Is there a competition going on in the Yankees to have the least amount of BMI?
There could be. There's some guys that
between Judge, Stanton, and Chapman.
Yeah, there are some guys that are in really good shape. You know what? Athletes nowadays, with the money they make in all sports, it's not show up in spring training and get yourself into shape like you used to. You have to be in shape when you walk in the door. I mean, just think about Gleyber Torres, and his issues are fielding and mental right now. And if he was still playing second, I wonder if the bat would be where it's supposed to be. But I think he's in his head too much now.
So do I.
But you remember after the pause last year, before they finally got the 60-game season started, Brian Cashman, general manager, said point blank that he didn't think that he was in shape when he returned to play. And I wonder if he felt that way about a couple of other guys, but it was noted. However, if you went back, you know, back in the day and Gleyber walked in the way, you would be like, this guy's in great shape. But that's not the standard.
Not by today's standards, exactly.
Not even close to the standard that is set today. But back to Aroldis Chapman. Not only is everything I said true, or others said true, but his numbers are backing it up. But on top of that...
So in other words, there's receipts for that.
Yeah, but the bullpen right now is the best in the game. So...
Now, is there any Yankees bias on that, or is that backed up by fact as well?
No, those numbers are all out there. Feel free to look them up if you want to. The performance spoken for itself. You get a little nervous after Garrett Cole with that starting rotation, but ultimately you get and bridge the gap to the bullpen, and they seem to have been fine thus far. It is the Sportszilla Show. This is ESPN Radio. It's Matt and Rain with you in game for the New York Yankees, as you know. And once again, Chris Stacey with NYY Sports Talk. We'll have a pre-recorded interview lined up for you next. But let's move on. So let's throw something NFL related at everybody and see what they have to say. What are the odds? We brought up the Bills a little bit earlier, that Bills Mafia is going to get vaccinated because they want to be in, and I'll quote, the full house in Buffalo this fall when this next NFL season gets underway. I have a feeling there might be a few that go no, for whatever their reasons are, but I have a feeling the percentage is pretty high that most will go, sure, I'm in.
Sign me up.
Let's do it. It was so great when we finally saw a few fans get into seats, not just in Buffalo, but really everywhere. And to be able to finally...
Whether it be a Crunch game, a Comets game, saw it in the Bills game, obviously.
Yep.
It just changes the momentum of the game. And I feel like the athletes pick up on that, and they haven't had it all season.
You know, you got 10% right now. We'll build that back up. Of course, this applies to what New York State's going to allow, and we'll get some butts and seats for Syracuse football. We'll get some butts and seats ultimately. I mean, look, we got a ways to go. I think the percentages will be far greater by the time we get to SU basketball, for example. And I just can't wait. It's just the energy that it adds to the just watching it on TV, just hearing it on the radio. You can hear that. It's not artificial.
I say, and not that fake noise either.
It makes a difference in what you watch on TV. And then when you're there in person, and then how that translates. Coach Boeheim knows when there's fans in there. He can feel that, right? The players as well. And that Joe Girard is a perfect example. We've had this conversation, an energy guy. The fans make a difference. Certain guys more than others, but they feed off us being fans, being passionate, caring, and making noise without a doubt. So my odds on that, I'm going to say
1,000,000%.
I'm going to say there might be a few holdovers.
Okay, but it's still going to be a packed house.
How about 99.8%?
Okay.
Is that fair?
I can live with that.
If you're cool with 100%, throw it in the Twitch chat at Cuse Sports Talk. Can I ask one more?
I guess.
Okay. What are the odds that Matt, Patriots fan Matt, is still a little bit verklempt about Julian Edelman retiring? Is it easier to take because he failed a physical? The Patriots cut him, but it's an injury.
The timeline was weird because we hear that Edelman's been released. Mm-hmm. Then we find out it's because of a physical reason. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he's retiring.
Right.
At first, it's like, okay, he's going to Tampa Bay. Belichick just gave him the rite of passage, go to Tampa, go be happy, and then he retires. It's like, whoa, that's better than him just packing his bags, going to Tampa.
It's interesting, but it's not going to happen. He just, it's not that type of situation where even like Gronk came out of retirement, for example.
Yeah.
All right. Got himself back into shape once a week is ultimately what he reported because he faked it the rest of the time with his video workouts.
How fantastic.
But that's not going to happen with Edelman. There is a physical reason he's not coming back.
That's correct.
And he's at an age now in the smaller stature. You take a little time off. I don't know if, you know, when you're Gronk, when you're massive like that, I think, and a little bit younger, right?
And I feel like he was always in shape, though. It wasn't, obviously, it's different from regular shape to football shape, but Gronk, he's motivated, and he wanted to play for Tom. So he was going to put the effort in no matter what.
He stayed in shape, and he slimmed down. He just bulked back up.
Correct.
To return to the football field. He didn't get fat, like, in, you know what I mean?
Correct.
Doughy and out of shape and me. He didn't basically become me with a dad bod.
So to answer your question, no, I've gotten over it.
You're over it?
Yes.
You're good?
Yeah.
You dealt with it in a day?
I did.
That's pretty quick. I'm impressed, my man. We're going to play, we've got Masters of the Obvious with Chris Stacey, our promised Yankees pre-recorded interview next, ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show. Hang on.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt, Masters of the Obvious.
You know, we've all been through a lot these past several months. We've shut down and people have lost their businesses, lost their livelihoods.
The Sportszilla Show.
What normal are you talking about? I'm talking about normal, like back in March.
On ESPN Radio, ESPN, and Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Well, as a matter of fact, we are in game right now with the New York Yankees over on the brother station TK99. It is Rain and Matt Page, the glue guy. That made me master of the obvious, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
There's the first obvious statement as we now welcome in Chris Stacey. Yeah, we got to talk some Yankees with you, Chris. We made some predictions on our Yankees on Deck show last night. Our expectations for Jameson Taillon and ultimately Ryu with the Dunedin Blue Jays. Well, Ryu was the ace and we ended up with the worst case scenario. We were hoping best case scenario, 6 innings and maybe a couple runs, quality start material. Didn't quite get that. Jameson Taillon struggled a little bit. Let's start there with some analysis of last night's game.
Yeah, listen, and thanks for having me on again, guys. I appreciate it. Love joining you. But I'll start with Taillon and his biggest issue, and that was something he did completely opposite of his first start, and that's missing up. If you go back and really look where he got beat, whether it was a pitcher's count, a hitter's count, it didn't matter. He was leaving the ball up from the start of the game until he got pulled. And I don't care how good of a pitcher you are, unless you're Chapman coming in to, you know, empty the tank in one inning and you're throwing 102, you can't leave that ball up over the zone because major league hitting is going to beat you almost every time. And It was frustrating, not in a sense of that I have any doubts of Tyone, just based on that start. But a guy like that, same goes for Kluber. I mean, a guy like that, he comes out after not pitching for a couple of years in his first start, and he was extremely impressive, and you want to see him build on that a little before he kind of has a setback. And that setback came before he could ever had a chance to really build upon it.
You know, and it's funny, and I don't know if you watch the game or happen to listen to the game on the radio. We consume baseball on the radio. I do both, actually, and I'm going to give credit where it's due. Susan Waldman said, Juan, and initiated a conversation with John Sterling where they were talking about the fact, though, that you're seeing pitchers when they miss up. If they tend to do that, you'll see a lot more pitches fouled off. And then what does that do? Well, hence the pitch count goes up. Then these guys aren't getting deeper into the games. And there's also, I mean, we could talk about some of these questionable calls that we've seen. Umpiring has not been solid, making the case for the robot umpires and taking the human element out of the game, which I struggle with. But am I onto something? Were they onto something? Was Susan and John onto something?
Well, Susan and John are usually always onto something. I give them a lot of credit. We actually had John on our podcast, and just kind of gives you a unique perspective on everything. So I'll say this. You look at the most efficient pitchers in baseball, starting pitchers in baseball, they're confident in their stuff. And what I mean by that is they're not trying to get cute. They're not trying to play games. They're confident in their stuff where they can miss, you know, a little bit off the plate and still get that call. The most important thing for me, and I was a pitcher through high school and college, the most important thing was keeping the hitters off balance. And the way to do that is to switch up the zones. I mean, you got to go, you know, soft, something slower, low and away, come up with that high fastball. And when you're taking the batter and messing up his balance, where his head's looking for something high in the zone, then low and outside, it's extremely effective. And, you know, like I said, Tyone just continued to miss down over up right over the plate. And he got beat because he wasn't keeping these guys off balance. And if he was throwing something slower, you know, off speed, low and away, and then coming up with that high pitch, he's probably going to get more swings and misses than anything else. But because he's not doing that, these guys are getting too good of a look at the ball. Like you said, they're fouling off pitches until they get something they can hit, and eventually they're beating them.
So have you liked what the Yankees have been getting out of Odor? Obviously, they knew what they were getting when they traded for him, and I feel like he's given them exactly what's been expected. I'm not sure if you're seeing the same exact thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, the expectations, the bar is really low for Odor. He's a guy with some pop. He's a guy who, if you go and look at his last few years, you're kind of shocked at how many home runs he's hit, and you expect that playing at Yankee Stadium for majority of the time, he's gonna you know, have some pop in his bat and be able to put some over the fence. But ultimately, what I've been loving about him so far is he's making things happen. And right now, you know, the Yankees are notoriously slow starters offensively, and sometimes that comes back around in October. You know, you talk to any Yankee fan, that's the biggest complaint. They can't put runs together. But really, I mean, in the beginning of the season, if your team's not all there yet, if you're not clicking, you need to fill in that lineup with guys who know how to make stuff happen. And Odor's done that. I mean, it's been quiet. It's not like he's smashing the ball and, you know, has opened your eyes with power or anything like that, but a couple bloops here and there. And every time you look at the box score, he's either got an RBI or a run scored.
We got to get him to barrel up the ball a little bit with the bat. This is Chris Stacy with NYY Sports Talk, talking New York Yankees in game with us on the Sportzilla show on ESPN Radio on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. Blue Guy, your follow-up.
And talking about batters, who's the one person that concerns you the most? Someone that you've expected a lot of that hasn't really shown out so far this year?
Well, I'd say the obvious answer, if you talk to any Yankee fan, is going to be DJ LeMahieu.
Yep.
I mean, he hasn't been coming through in the spots that you're used to him coming through, but that's not my answer, because when I'm going to answer something like that, I'm going to answer it based on a guy that I, you know, have been worried about before this season even started. DJ LeMahieu is not that guy. He'll come around. I have no doubt in my mind. We all know the player that he signed. Sometimes we got to take a deep breath and remind ourselves who he is and why he's here. The guy who concerns me the most, and it's not even a question, is Gleyber Torres. And you've seen him take some better swings at the ball lately, so you hope he's coming around. But this is it for me with Gleyber. As far as I'm not making excuses for him anymore. This has been a kid that for the last few years now we've heard, you know, he's a future superstar. Well, this is the year to do it now. I mean, this is the year to start really putting your career together and showing us the player you're going to be. I think he's in his head too much. I think he lets his fielding, affect him at the plate. And, you know, a true superstar has all the talent in the world, but it's more than that. It's a lot mental. And if you can't hone that in and put it together, there comes a point in time where we have to kind of say, okay, no more excuses for Gleyber. I know he's young, and I know he still has a whole future ahead of him, but time to start putting it together now because we need you.
Well, Chris, to your point, in our Yankees on Deck show last night, we have a feature, who's hot, who's not. Here's the not list. Are you ready for this? It included Gleyber Torres, who prior to last night's game against the Dunedin/Toronto, soon-to-be Buffalo Blue Jays, he was hitting .205. Talkman, Hicks, Bruce, Stanton. These guys are basically in and around 200 or below.
More often below.
I know we don't put as much stock in batting average as we used to, but there is pretty much no performance out of those guys.
And by the way, it's only April, so it's not like they had a whole season to look at. So continue, Ryan.
You said, though, you're right, though. Traditionally, slow starts, especially when you're talking about power guys. The hot weather warms it up. The ball carries a little bit farther. Blah, blah, blah. We all know that. Listen, I'm master of the obvious pointing out these guys. The numbers back up their performance. But it's the bullpen that's carrying this team right now, giving them the chance to win the five games that they have won. I'm not comfortable with them being under .500, but there's a lot of baseball left to play. Let's go to the starting rotation, though, here in our last couple of minutes together. It's basically Gerrit Cole, exactly as expected. And then, clearly, you cross your fingers after that. And we knew what we were getting with the starting rotation, the way they built it, and you understand that these guys, a lot of them are working back from some pretty serious injuries.
Or suspensions.
But, I mean, are you going Devi Garcia at some point? I mean, Jordan Montgomery goes from looking great to, oh my goodness, what happened in one start in the span of 5 days. What are your thoughts on the starting rotation after Gerrit Cole?
I keep it as simple as this. Just like I said, after Tyone and Kluber had great Yankee debuts, that it's everything to be optimistic about. We can be excited for these guys, but at the end of the day, it's one start, and we can't sit here and make predictions on how the rest of their season is going to go based on that one start. And I got to say the same thing about their second start. I think as of right now, the starting pitching and the bullpen, obviously, are the least of my worries. I think what we saw out of Tyone and Kluber in their first starts was extremely positive. You saw guys who hadn't pitched in 2 years and already proved to you that they still have the stuff to do it.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of that kind of follows as the season goes along, where you'll start to see them have more confidence in their stuff. They won't be as inconsistent with being off and on, you know, with each start. And then they'll get into that rhythm, just like a hitter on a hot streak gets into a rhythm. Same thing with pitching. If you go back a couple of years with James Paxton, you know, he was a guy who was hurt all the time and coming back. And then at the end of the season, he won 10 or 11 straight, barely gave it up. I mean, that's what these guys have the potential of doing. They got to stay healthy. They got to keep taking the ball every 5 days. And I really have no worries at all.
We have to get to that point where it clicks, where it locks in. Chris Stacy with us here on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio with NYY Sports Talk. Glue Guy, we got time for one more question. It's all you.
Okay, I have a non-Yankees question, actually. We got to give props to Yadier Molina. Today he will become the only catcher to play 2,000 games with one franchise, being the Cardinals. Talk about how awesome of an accomplishment that is.
In Major League history. That is amazing that he can even stand up and his knees still exist at this point. Chris, the final comments are yours.
Here's what I'll say. I'll make two comments. One, if I squat for about 10 minutes, let alone, what'd you say, 2,000 games?
Yes.
I absolutely wouldn't be able to move at this point. it's beyond respectable what he's done and been able to put together. I put Molina in a category of, I don't care if you hate him or love him, you respect the hell out of him. And he's one of those players that you go back and say, you know, show me a guy who represents the sport that you love. Molina's one of those guys.
Chris, I know we're talking Yankees, but the glue guy changed the subject to another team, so I'm going to do the same thing. Go cross town to Queens really quick in 10 seconds, and I don't think it'll even take you that long. How amazing is Jacob DeGrom, even though the Mets can't score and he can't win a damn game?
I was going to say, and how bad do you feel for him on a nightly basis?
He's incredible.
I tweeted this the other night, guys. I don't know who I feel worse for, DeGrom or Mets fans. I tweeted out, in his last 78 starts since 2018, the Mets are 36-42,
yeah,
which is the third most losses of any team, despite him having the most innings pitched at 5.03 and the lowest ERA at 2.06, and it's not even close. This guy has... his team has the most amount of losses of him on the mound in that time, and he has the 36th least amount of wins in that time. So that just tells you enough. It's crazy to me. It's sad to see, and I think he's by far the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you just cannot deny the obvious. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for talking Yankees and baseball. And our little segment called Masters of the Obvious. Chris Stacy with NYY Sports Talk. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully next time on, the Yankees are on a hot streak.
And we're talking about a win. You're Killing Me Smalls is next on the Sportszilla Show with ESPN Radio.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're Killing Me Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Well, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
With some more sports festivus, the airing of the sports grievances, what makes you roll your eyes or say, oh, you're killing me, Smalls. Well, not Shaquille O'Neal, because he's not small. He was actually a topic of conversation for a brief moment in the Twitch chat at QSportsTalk. Bring him back up. $35,000 donation to a restaurant. The particulars are not important, but he made that donation. And they said this is the restaurant worker said it was the greatest thing ever. Was it last week? He walks into a jewelry store. He paid off some kid's engagement ring. And it's just funny how there's a certain narrative about Shaq in some circles. But in reality, he does stuff like that all the time.
Well, you have to admit some of the things that he says on TV to current NBA players isn't exactly nice.
It's cringeworthy. It's awkward, to say the least.
But it's good to know that Shaq has a good heart overall.
Happens to Charles Barkley once in a while, too. He's sitting there going, that was a terrible question, Charles. Needless to say, the Yankees are up 4-3, and they just came up to bat again. Inning, I believe it is, hold on, I've got to take a look here. Sixth inning, 0-2 on Gardner, 4-3 New York Yankees, game in progress from Dunedin. That being said, let's get to something that is, I guess, making us say, you're killing me, Smalls. Do it real quick. Is load management still a thing, Matt, glue guy, sir? What do you think? And I'll give you the reason I asked that. The Nets have said Kevin Durant, James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Blake Griffin are all out for tonight's game against the 76ers.
And what are the reasonings behind that?
I don't have the reasonings, but you can't. If it was serious long-term injuries, you would hear something about that, right? So I'm assuming this is load management. Remember when it was all anybody was talking about, and now it's just a whisper thing? But it'll come back around.
Yeah, but I feel like the NBA as a whole tried to get rid of that because you have people paying their hard-earned money to go see. At that point, it was LeBron against the Spurs, and if both teams are sitting their star players, why is that happening?
How about it's still happening? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're just not talking about it or
admitting
to it.
You're just not calling it load management.
We're not calling it what it is. There's many other examples of this. Didn't Aaron Judge just basically get a load management the other day because it was sore a little bit? A lot of Yankees fans not happy. You got to be a gamer. You got to play. If there's a, I mean, it was Derek Jeter, I think, used to say it all the time. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. there really is. And so I guess, are you calling some athletes soft on occasion? Is that possible? I don't know. With load management, I'm going to give it to him.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Here's one other thing I wanted to bring up real quick. The overanalyzation of the draft. We're about 2 weeks out, and I'm on Twitter last night, right? And we know...
Wow, shocking on that, by the way, but continue.
The cesspool of Twitter sucks me in. I know, it's like a car crash here. You just can't look away. But Garrett Williams, Syracuse defensive back, Garrett Williams, his father, Gio, on Twitter, we did a little follow back thing. But he basically said, yeah, it's ridiculous some of the narratives that come up. These kids are working hard. They're trying to pursue their dreams ultimately. And you run out of things to talk about. So it's just this. I mean, Zach Wilson now. Oh, man, I don't know if his body can hold up to it.
Yeah, so he goes from being a consensus second overall pick to, oh, geez, I don't know if he can be the guy.
Boy, I'm hearing he's got some problems. You just you're searching for something to talk about, and it's not ultimately fair to some of these
kids.
And
I feel like 90% of it now is just fake.
They're busting their butts trying to get it done, and I mean, who's going after Trevor Lawrence? And, oh, today, you know what I heard today? Oh, maybe Trevor Lawrence isn't even the best quarterback available. He might even be third. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, they're all going to play in the NFL.
You know, going off of that, I would like to see Trevor Lawrence in a 49ers uniform.
Yeah, let's just make that happen. You know what? Skip over him if you're Jacksonville and let him go to the Jets. There you go. There you go, Jets. Maybe it's going to happen. No, Trevor Lawrence is going first overall, and we'll figure it out from there in a couple of weeks with the draft. I got one more for the day.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We're back with Soundcheck, including plenty more on the National Football League. Next on the Sportszilla Show with ESPN Radio. Yankees are still up 4-3, by the way.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports soundcheck.
I hear this sound right now. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports in around 3:15. We'll get him out for a lacrosse Zoom so he can get you updated on that. I want you to know that he spoke with Jimmy Boeheim. Yep. Jimmy, son. We're going to ask him about that for sure. If you have any interest in Syracuse basketball, the transfer portal, and the potential of three Boeheims on the court, boy, that's going to be a good interview. Alexander Ackerman with Sin Bin News, because it is the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup game number 6 of the season tonight.
A
recap and a preview is exactly what you're going to get with her. She does a fantastic job. Not only that, but she teaches your children, and she still is a hockey fanatic, and will get it done for us in and around 3:30. So we look forward to all that here on the Sportszilla Show with ESPN Radio. Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. If you'd like to comment along as we have a discussion about some sound in and around the world of sports that we are going to get to right now. I would like to start with, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers, but we're saving that, aren't we? Yeah, we got to save that for Mark Larson. I think we do. There's a reason. Part of it is his mom, but we could have.
And the other part of it is he just hates Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy.
So instead of hearing from Aaron Rodgers and saving that, why don't we hear about Aaron Rodgers? I can do that for you. A.J. Hawk, former linebacker, let's hear what he had to say as it pertains to, when does he get out of Green Bay and when is the end of the line for Aaron Rodgers? Because haven't we been having this discussion because we need stuff to talk about because the draft is still 2 weeks away?
I think it would mean everything for him to be able to stay with the same team and with all the success he has had in Green Bay. But it's got to be weird for him sitting back now thinking like, wow, there's a very real possibility that I am not going to finish my career in Green Bay. And I think that's probably hard for him even to envision in his mind if he thinks about himself wearing a different uniform.
Yeah, this is his second week guest hosting Jeopardy. And he's even said that even if he keeps playing with the filming schedule, that is actually something that he could continue. And he would love to do that. How about that?
I think that's awesome.
Post-playing career, he's not going to be in the booth. Maybe he's not going to coach. Nope, he's going to take over as the host of Jeopardy. I still say consider Alex Faust, our good friend, who's out broadcasting for the Los Angeles Kings now. Even if you remember, before he passed, Alex Trebek name dropped him because he's living out there watching King games saying, I could see this guy eventually taking my job. But we're going back to Aaron Rodgers. A little bit more from A.J. Hawk to follow up with that point. It's getting a little bit harder for Aaron to stay in Green Bay. So, yeah, it would be great if he did. But if he doesn't, it's the end of the line. Got a couple more years. He's got some issues with Green Bay and the organization and the team in general. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
So here's A.J. Hawk on that.
The team wants to have the flexibility to be able to choose, like, year to year what they want to do with Aaron, if they want him there, if they want him to retire, they want to trade him, whatever it is. And Aaron obviously wants some stability, and he's said many times, yeah, he would love to finish his career in Green Bay, but that's not really up to him. So I think right now, I'm guessing they're sitting there going back and forth, like, all right, Aaron wants some long-term stability and for them to kind of commit to him. And the Packers are kind of in a weird spot too, saying, well, hey, yeah, we can commit to you, but we just don't know how long we can commit to you. So I'm sure that's what the standoff is now. And I think the longer it goes, if you don't get anything done, I don't know. I don't know how Aaron does finish his career in Green Bay, even though he does want to.
Yeah, I got a feeling he's going to end up suiting up somewhere else at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Could we see as soon as next year? I felt like it was too soon this year.
Oh, for the Patriots, I'm sure.
You know, perhaps.
You're working out those scenarios.
But what if the Patriots draft Justin Fields?
You don't want Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, well, clearly I do. He's fantastic.
You're going to be okay with that?
Yeah.
How many?
I guess I would take Aaron Rodgers.
How many scenarios have you worked out in your head to get Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots? Be honest.
I would rather not say.
Okay. Teddy Bruschi. We'll bring him back. And he played for what team was that?
The Patriots?
Yeah. I guess we'll focus on that. Julian Edelman. Hall of Fame, the discussion. I had to bring it back into the narrative again today here on the Sportzilla Show on ESPN Radio as we give you sound check. This is his thoughts.
Well, I love the guy, so if I had a vote, I'd vote for him.
Your smile tells me everything,
okay,
Teddy.
But Key, I'm with Key. I know Key would be stepping in here. I know, Key, I'm with you, though. I can understand how it's easy to say, where are the All-Pros? I mean, where are the Pro Bowls? Where are the overall career numbers? What does the Hall of Fame voters? I mean, there would be an incredible argument from a lot of voters in there. I've talked to a lot of voters that are in the room, and numbers are almost what it brings up. So it would be a hard case. Yes, my vote, he's got it, but it's going to be a hard case for him to get in.
He's not getting in. He's not getting in.
Why?
He's not getting in. I'm telling you.
Why? Why do you say that?
It's the body of work is just not there. And as you said yesterday, everybody's focused on the postseason, but it needs to be the full body of work. And I just don't think that's the case with him. And there, Hines Ward is one of a bunch of examples of some guys that will have to get in to have any credibility before Julian Edelman. It's nothing personal against Julian Edelman, man.
I think it is.
You think you take it that way?
I think you're personal.
All right, work husband. Mike Tannenbaum, let's get some audio from him on Mac Jones because, hey, didn't I just go off a little bit and you're killing me, Smalls, about the fact that we're overanalyzing these five quarterbacks, specifically where they're going to go after Trevor Lawrence.
So why are you playing audio?
Zach Wilson's, of course, probably going to the Jets second, but then you got to figure out Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields. But we'll go to Mac Jones. Is he the right choice at number three? It seems to be he's the favorite in the 8,000 mock drafts, 8 million mock drafts that are out there. So this is what Mike Tannenbaum said on the subject of Matt Jones being the right choice at number three.
If he turns out to be a good fit and they win a ton of games with him, Bob, like, no one's going to care. You know, no one's going to care that it should have been a fourth-round pick and not a third-round pick, or that one should have been a two. You know why? Because if it's a low one, everyone's going to be happy about that. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's when you have conviction and a fit and a vision. And, you know, the irony for me, to be candid, is I was saying back in January, like, this guy, to me, is a young, more athletic Matt Ryan. And obviously Matt Ryan had a ton of success with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. So, you know, we'll see what they ultimately do. But to me, I see a really good fit there between Mac Jones and the 49ers.
There you go. Let's stay with the NFL. We've had a way to work in the Bills and Bills Mafia. Today we've worked in the Jets, obviously talking about Zach Wilson, your Patriots. So a little bit of time for my Giants. Let's work that back into the conversation. Mel Kiper, we've heard all sorts of speculation on what the Giants are going to do at number 11, even so much so as a scenario where there was a trade between the Patriots and the Giants between the 15th and the 11th pick. But if the Giants make the pick at 11, who do they go with according to Mel Kiper? Well, you're going to find out.
To me, I think you look at Jaylen Waddle. If he's there at 11, I don't know how you pass him up. I know you brought in Kenny Golladay. Now you get another weapon for Daniel Jones in this year where it's his year to become what Josh Allen was in Buffalo. Get him the ultimate weapon that you need, or weapons you need, and hope that offensive line improves. Hope Saquon Barkley's back healthy. The key is going to be ultimately, though, the offensive line there with the Giants. So offensive linemen are tempting, but I just felt Jaylen Waddle, you can make an argument, guys. He's a fifth best player in this draft, sixth best player, and that's what you kind of want when you're picking 11. You don't want to get the 11th best player. You want to get a guy in your top five, six, seven.
Hey, Glue Guy, who was the Heisman Trophy winner that happened to be his teammate first named Devontae
Smith?
Yeah, I keep hearing about him, too, with the Giants. So
I feel like it's all over the place with the Giants. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like at first it was you guys are going to go after an offensive lineman. Then it became a linebacker. Now it's trying to get a weapon for Daniel Jones. Where do you feel like the Giants are actually going to pick someone?
Here's what I feel like is happening, okay? I'm not going to directly answer your question. Joe Judge coached with Nick Saban at Alabama, and if you don't think there's some back-channel conversations between those two, if the pick is between those two at wide receiver, they're gathering intel right now. Boy, how do you argue with either one?
So you're feeling like a playmaker.
As much as I really still think they might want to look at offensive line, because there are some pieces in place now with Golladay and Saquon being healthy to help Daniel Jones, but you got to protect him. Because the issue is
the playmaker can't go make a play if the quarterback can't get him the ball.
Yeah, if he doesn't have enough time. And when you have a younger quarterback who is still learning how to make proper decisions, which clearly between fumbles and holding onto the ball too long has been an issue for Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, to take the next step, you got to protect the quarterback. So, those are my general thoughts. I hope that somehow answered your question. We're going to close out today on Soundcheck with some audio as it pertains to new owner, who this? The Minnesota Timberwolves, now owned by, Mr. J-Lo. A-Rod. Anthony Edwards, rookie on Minnesota, didn't know who he was. Can I share this now?
Please. Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's just...
I just don't know anything about baseball. Move on.
He knows who your wife is, though. I'm telling you right now, A-Rod, and he doesn't know who it is. Those damn kids today. Let's take a break on the Sportszilla show on ESPN Radio. As promised, from Spectrum Sports, sports director Mark Larson is on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone lines next on ESPN Radio. And we're going to ask him about Jimmy Boeheim.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
Note to self, was going to close out today with Mark Larson. With Mark Larson, sports director at Spectrum, on a food of the day, because we've had a theme of that. Now we're going with green tea.
Apparently, I didn't want you to talk, but continue.
We didn't mean to cut you off as we were moving away from an in-studio Twitch conversation at Q Sports Talk to the airwaves. But, Mark, it's good to have you back in here. I know you got a lacrosse Zoom coming up, so anybody out there that's a lacrosse fan, keep your ears and eyes open, because you'll get a little something from Mark later on today, I'm sure, on that.
Hey, boys. Good to be with you again.
But I've got to start, and I'm going to bury the lead until our second question. Jimmy Boeheim, you spoke to him. Syracuse basketball fans, did your ears perk up a little bit? Because we actually want to start with your mom. We know you're from Wisconsin. We know how she feels. We know how she feels about Aaron Rodgers, and he's hosting Jeopardy. We just had a little bit of a conversation in our last segment about him, and we thought we had to bring a piece of audio. So this might spark conversation the next time you check in with your mom, Mark. So if you want to give this a listen, it's about 20 seconds, and we're going to have you react. This is from Jeopardy, of course, with A.A. Ron Rodgers.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again.
Try title for 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh?
Didn't know the one about the Packers. The quarterback of the Packers standing right there. But there we go. It's good stuff. You got to love it. And how is mom doing, by the way?
Yep. Well, as far as I know, Mom has not made any moves on Aaron yet, but I do think she's probably, if there is a voting that's going to happen, she's going to vote him in to be the permanent Jeopardy guy. You know what? He does have a sense of humor. He seems like a kind of a good dude, but I just can't. I can't. No, I can't even imagine him there. So I still, you know what? I like Jeopardy so much. I'll watch it 10 o'clock at night. They replay like the old ones. And actually, I was looking around Netflix with my kids last night. We watched, hang on, let me think of it. Oh, we watched Seaspiracy, which I will highly recommend. Mm. And it'll make you never want to eat fish again. Anyway, we're looking for something else. And there's Jeopardy episodes on there with Alex. So, I mean, no one's going to come close to Trebek. And certainly it's not Aaron.
Do you remember when Alex Trebek name-dropped Alex Faust of the Los Angeles Kings? Earlier in his broadcasting career out of college, went to Northeastern, he called games for the Utica Comets, and obviously a few of them against the Syracuse Crunch, who, guess who's playing tonight, by the way, for the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup. But he specifically said, because obviously living in California, hockey fan, Canadian, watches the Kings. He said, this would be a guy I would consider. So there's your homework for the next time we talk. We'll ask you some questions about him. But let's switch to basketball.
Well, no, you have to give me the answer and I come up with a question.
Oh, that's right.
You've
got to stay on the Jeopardy theme. I'm going to let Glue Guy bring up Jimmy Boeheim in a second, because I want to go to a lesser discussed team in Central New York, because it made me laugh when you tweeted this a little bit earlier. But does Colgate's entire team next year consist of guys with the first name of Jordan? What's the deal, man?
If it does, they're going to win the championship. I mean, yeah, they've had some pretty good Jordans there. Obviously, you'd rather have a guy with the last name Jordan than the first name, but no, Jordan Burns is as good as they get. And yeah, pretty funny that we've got another one now starring for the Stallions.
It's a great story.
So you talked to Jimmy Boeheim earlier. I'm sure it was just to ask about Dad, correct?
Nothing else, right?
Oh yeah, it was funny because I was trying to get a hold of him yesterday and I didn't know how to do it. So I messaged him on Instagram, believe it or not, and he actually answered back. He said, "Yeah, I got some time. Here's my cell." So I'm not recommending people do that. Now, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, he was nice enough to do that. And then today I said, well, let's make it a Zoom call. And he said, all right, what's the topic anyway? And so I said, well, the first thing I want to find out is if your younger brother's walking around the house making everybody call him Buddy Buckets now. and he said, no, he said, it's funny. He goes, he did earn it, I guess. But he goes, you're not going to find me calling him that. No, not yet. Not yet. So there's that. And then, of course, I wanted to ask him about his decision. And here's the deal. This is exactly what I'm going to say on TV tonight, so I'll just read it. Since he entered the transfer portal back in November, we've all been wondering when Jimmy Boeheim was going to make his next move and if he would do the obvious and come home to play for his namesake. Well, Wednesday, Jimmy told me he's finally reached his decision, and the answer is going to be announced Thursday or Friday on social media.
So
I love it. That's a good tease, Mark.
How do you keep somebody in suspense? I'll tell you tomorrow.
You tomorrow, exactly. Yeah. So, I tried to get it out of him today. Such a nice kid, and it's funny. He goes at one point in the interview, and I'm going to post the whole interview onto our website, SpectrumLocalNews.com, later this evening. So, if people want to listen in. He says, I'm just really eager to get back out there and play with my brothers, and go to battle and everything. And I said, okay, you just said play with my brothers. Is that a hint? And he laughed. He said, no. Like all the Cornell guys, those are my brothers too. And then he's got a Syracuse flag hanging behind him. He's back in his dorm room or apartment in Ithaca. And I said, is that flag hanging behind you any kind of hint? He said, no, that's been up there since I was a freshman. So anyways, he pretty much had narrowed it down to high majors. He feels like he's earned that with his play. I mean, last time he was at the Dome, he scored 25. And don't you think his dad really didn't want us? I mean, of course, he wanted Jimmy to do well, but he didn't want him to drop 25 on him. So, the kid can play. So he narrowed it down to high majors. He wouldn't tell me like his finalists, because he said, no, I've made my decision. He goes, I don't know if I want to announce it tomorrow or Friday. So I guess we'll kind of wait and see when he wakes up tomorrow. If he thinks it's the day, then it'll be there on his social media, on his Twitter, on his Instagram. And if not, then we'll have to wait till Friday. But yeah, he said he's excited to have the decision made. He's looking forward to the next chapter. And so he really, I didn't want to press him. He was such a nice kid to come on. And we'll talk to him again after he announces, and then we'll run through all that stuff.
Mark, I felt like you had a magnifying glass while you were on the Zoom, just trying to see anything in the background, trying to give you some kind of a hint.
He was Zooming the Zoom. Seriously. He was Zooming the Zoom. It's Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports with us here on the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio.
You don't want to miss the obvious, right? I mean,
exactly.
If it's right there, you got to bring it up. So
that's interesting. So what you're saying, though, if I'm reading between the lines, he has some options, first of all. You had a conversation with Matt and I, one of the last times we talked, where we said when he comes in here with Cornell against a major Division I program, it's clear that Jimmy can play basketball. He would be he will have earned it with his ability on the basketball court to play for his father and join his brother. If you had to, no, I'm not going to put you on the spot like that at all.
No, do it, because I'll tell you what I think.
You think he's going to come here? Okay.
No, here's why I think he's not going to come here, because he made it very clear this is his last year. He wants to play. And we talked about this last week. I think most of us agree that if he comes here, he is he going to start? I don't know. You know, I don't know. If Quincy comes back Benny. If Benny is as good as advertised, and they've got Buddy and Joe back at the guard with Saimir, he's not going to start. So is he going to want to come here and sit on the bench? I don't think so. I think he's studied the transfer portal. He knows who's coming back to which teams and who isn't. So I think he's going to pick a different mid-major, not mid-major, high major, that where he can go in and start. So I don't know what that would be. I can't even guess. I mean, there's so many schools out there. Who else lost a lot of guys? Pitt maybe lost a few guys. I don't think he'd go to another ACC school. That's just my guess. High major, maybe like a Big East school. You know, stay up in the maybe Providence, something like that. I'm
not
just
Georgetown.
Right now,
Georgetown. He would go to Georgetown.
No. Oh God, no. I can't see that happening either. But that's why I don't think he's going to come to Syracuse. I could be wrong, obviously. He could just say, all right, it'd be worth it just to be with my dad and my brother and not make my mom, you know, try to focus in on two different teams on the same night sometimes. But I can't wait to see. I can't wait to find out.
Well, Mark, I wonder who's going to give Jim the business. Is it going to be Julie or is it going to be Buddy going, you're giving me a lot of minutes. Can you give Jimmy some minutes? Or do you think that Julie says, come on,
yeah,
Jim,
right?
You're giving Buddy all the minutes. Give your other son some minutes. No, you can't. You can't go there.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to get you out on time for your lacrosse Zoom so you can update all the lacrosse fans in Central New York. So I just wanted to point out to you that Mario Sacco, who we have discussed, caught a fish finally. As you know, he said he's a bet. It's on Twitter. You can take a look at that. But you usually give us a food tip of the day. So with the remaining few seconds, it's green tea today and not a food.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk green tea. And Tazo is good stuff. I'll always go to Tazo, but really any kind of green tea. What am I drinking? My girlfriend just got me this. It's Puka, PUKKA, Supreme Matcha Green. And used to be a Mountain Dew guy. That stuff will rot your teeth out. You've all seen it. And so I stopped drinking it a couple of years ago, and it's green tea. And I'm telling you, if you haven't tried it, try it. It's cleaner. What I do is I brew it up and then I pour it over ice, and it's awesome. It quenches your thirst. It kind of keeps you on an upper, energy level for hours, and you don't have that crash. So highly recommend it.
Go get yourself ready for the lacrosse Zoom. Anybody out there that's a lacrosse fan, be listening for Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. Report on that in just a little while. Mark, thank you for the time. The Yankees tied 4-4 with Toronto. It's into the seventh, but we're going to talk hockey next with Alexandra Ackerman with Sin Bin News, as we alluded to. When we talk to Mark, it is game number 6 tonight in the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup between the Crunch and the Comets. So we'll call it you to Cuse next on ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show.
Hi, I'm very proud to announce
it's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
Anytime we're afforded the opportunity to talk about the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup, game number 6 in the season series out of 14 between the Crunch and the Comets is tonight. We like to call it UTQ, and we're able to bring back in Alexandra Ackerman with Sinbin News, who does cover the Crunch. She's been on with us before. That's, of course, when she gets done with her full-time job as a frontline worker. Much respect. Alexandra is a teacher, but let me tell you something. You want to talk hockey? We've definitely got the right person on to discuss the Syracuse Crunch. So through a throwdown tonight, the Comets returned the favor that the Crunch delivered on Saturday with a 5-1 win, and it got out of control really fast yesterday. So the Crunch get to answer the call tonight. But let's break down a little bit about what we saw last night. Just your general overview to start, Alexandra.
You know, Syracuse was playing down a defenseman, but I also feel like you can only kind of take that so far. There's only so much you can get out of being down a couple of roster players, because that's life in the AHL. This stuff happens. So as we know, the team that adjusts the best, they are the ones that comes out on top. Honestly, I think that Syracuse might have underestimated Utica a little bit. And I also think that if they want to blame anybody, they need to look in the mirror. And I hate that cliche. The Tampa Bay Lightning uses it all the time. Steven Stamkos is famous for saying, we need to look in the mirror. But when I look at the amount of penalties that the Crunch took, especially in the second period, they only got 3 shots off that period, and Utica took control of the game and never gave it back.
Yeah, you're not going to get many offensive opportunities when you have 9 penalties overall. Utica was 2-for-9 on the power play, speaking of PK for the Crunch. But continue, Alexandra.
Yeah, Utica got 22 shots off in that second period, mm-hmm. and the Crunch only got 3. So if you're looking for a point in the game where things got away from Syracuse, you can point to that moment right there, because there's no coming back from that. Your confidence is shot, your flow is blown, and it was not a good outcome. Definitely not what the coaching staff wanted to see, I'm sure.
You've mentioned a couple of, not excuses, but reasons, perhaps the underestimation, blah, 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 looking in the mirror. But it also doesn't help when Mitchell Stevens and Alex Barry-Bollea are recalled by the Lightning. That weakens offensively what the Crunch have at their disposal. Not to mention, yeah, you're down to 5 defensemen. That hurts when you got to move a forward up, somebody playing out of position. There's just going to be little things. Hockey players always talk about the details in a game that make the difference. That is not an excuse, but it's plausible to, I suppose, blame the outcome of the game on that. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I also think that for some reason, Syracuse especially, when their blue line has been tampered with for whatever reason, and not only was the Crunch missing a couple of guys to recalls, Luke Wachowski, the captain of the team, didn't play last night. Yeah. I didn't exactly hear what went on there. I don't know if you all, I might have missed something on the broadcast, but, you know, that definitely hurts. And it was, you know, there's some help on the way from Tampa, but I'm pretty sure that it's probably due to like COVID protocols. They sent down Andreas Borgman, who's a defenseman, mm-hmm. but he has not arrived in Syracuse yet. So I don't know if it's because of COVID protocols or travel or what. So, I mean, there is help on the way, but I'm not sure if Borgman will reach Syracuse in time to help out tonight. So it'll be very interesting to see what the roster looks like tonight and who they sub in on the blue line if they need to make another substitution.
And talking about 2 players on Utica's side of things that I want to spotlight, Jonah Gadjevich played out of his mind last night, and so did Joel Hoffer. Obviously, a big difference from over the weekend to last night.
Yeah, I was looking at Utica's roster, and I noticed that, you know, the players that you highlight, like Gadjevich has 3 power play goals. There's no one on the Crunch that has that many because Alex Barry-Boulet, as you said, is recalled to the Lightning. So when you have these guys who can create these opportunities, who can really kind of excel on special teams, and you hand them that many power plays, you're going to end up suffering for it.
So who are you looking at on the Crunch roster to step up and fill the void? Who are the – Otto Sampi comes to mind for me, but maybe there's somebody else, another player that you're thinking of that you really need to see. Hey, listen, we need some help right now. Who's the next man up?
Taylor Radish has been really clicking lately, and I think that needs to continue. He's actually been kind of getting going at the same time as Boris Kachuk has been, which is nice to see the two of them taking off at the same time, because I think that a lot of people were kind of pinpointing them as players who really needed to have a big season. And they're finally starting to get hot together. So I think that that pairing, the two of them really need to continue to push themselves. And, you know, it's going to be tough. Grigori Denisenko has been doing really well for the team. He's currently sixth on the team in scoring right now. So hopefully he can kind of keep that going too. The Crunch does have some players who are excelling right now. It's just they need to have that consistency out there, and that's just not there yet.
It seemed like they were a well-oiled machine and then kind of got knocked off the rails. And they really clicked and came together after it was a little bit of a rough start the first few games of the year. And then it was smooth sailing because, you know, COVID, it's basically three teams playing each other over and over again with Rochester and Syracuse and Utica.
With a couple sprinkled in.
And then we all know what COVID did. And the last team to get through the protocols was the Comets in return of the ice. So there was Rochester and Syracuse, specifically the Crunch, just kind of humming along, and then, bang, last night happened. So that leaves me with the goalie situation. Sam Montembeau has been in goal for all of the games so far against the Comets. I expect after Joel Hofer for the Comets last night, I expect them to go with Jake Kiley. For the Crunch, Sam Montembeau has been in goal for all five games. Are they going to stay with him tonight and go back-to-back, or do you suspect that we're going a different direction?
God, I wish I had a crystal ball. I think it's time to give Spencer Martin a shot. The coaching staff was more than happy to trust him last season when the goalie situation, you know, kind of did what it did and with injuries back and forth. And I think Martin deserves his time to kind of really show what he can do. You know, Montembeau, I have no complaints about him, especially with the way the defense has been fluctuating. And that's really challenging to kind of handle that as a goalie. Especially someone, you know, Montembeau is a Panthers guy. So a lot of the defensemen are Syracuse people. So, you know, the systems are a little different and things like that.
Sure.
So he's been doing just fine. I have no complaints. But maybe it's time to give Spencer Martin his due and kind of see what he can do and put him in there against Utica. Utica and Syracuse are right next to each other in the standing. Rochester's right behind Syracuse. And even though the Crunch isn't playing for the playoffs, Howard Dolgan has kind of said, like, the Crunch isn't going to be participating in them this year.
Yeah.
There's still an element of pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that, you know, it still matters and you still want to win those games, especially there will hopefully be a regular normal season next season. And you don't want to kind of have any regrets laid on the table for this season. Give Martin his chance.
Alexander Ackerman is with us here with Sin Bin News on the Sports Illa Show. It is ESPN Radio. Nice enough to join us on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. Of note, some news as far as it pertains to sometimes referred to Tampa Qs. The Tampa Bay Lightning have signed Cole Koepke, who just participated in the Frozen Four. And you see this all the time at the end of the year, the college hockey seasons end and prospects sign and they get a little bit of taste of professional hockey, signed to a 2-year contract. What did you learn when you investigated him and what he's going to bring to the organization?
The Lightning really has a good eye for these college guys, and I think that it's exciting for these players. He's going to come in, and, you know, normally this time of year, there's maybe a week left of the season, if that.
Yeah.
But this season, he's going to come in. There's a full month left to the season. And he's actually a little bit of a bigger guy, which is interesting for the Lightning. He's 6'1", about 200 pounds. The Lightning has really been going for these smaller players lately. So it's kind of interesting on the forward side to get this bigger guy coming in because he's not 5'10", 160 pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he was with the Bulldogs, he had 75 points in those 104 games. He was part of their 2019 championship team. I think the Crunch is really going to be kind of looking for him to step in and maybe get some third line minutes, fourth line minutes, and kind of play his game. He has a good shot. He's strong defensively, which Syracuse, even on the forward side, could kind of use right now. Maybe if he can skate backwards, maybe Coach Gruel will debut him on the blue line. Who knows?
You know what? You got to do what you got to do when you're down a man. Absolutely. Sometimes you just you just plug something in and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you have to readjust. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that there's definitely going to be time for him to get in. the coaching staff has said that one of the positives of this crazy season is that these younger players are really getting a chance to get a taste of professional hockey without a lot of pressure of like looming postseasons and things. So, you know, I think he's going to slot in really nicely on like Syracuse's third line, and he's going to get minutes, and he's definitely going to play.
You notice a couple of fights as well, and it's a 2-3 season series lead, 5 games into the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup. But you're back on the ice.
And we've been talking about it getting chippy all season long.
We've been waiting for it to happen, and now you're going back to back. And guys are going to remember things, and there's already been, you know, the gloves have been dropped a couple times, maybe, and it's a fun part of hockey. But do you expect the chippiness to pick up?
I expect it to, but it'll be interesting based on Syracuse's current roster who answers the bell,
yeah,
so to speak. Because right now, like I said, I don't know what's going on with Lukowski. I haven't heard anything. Daniel Walcott is currently recalled to the Lightning's taxi squad, which, as kind of a side note, missing Walcott, he's a really big part of the glue that holds Syracuse together. Yeah. So not having Walcott out there, that hurts this team a little bit. Walcott doesn't often show up on the score sheet, but his heart shows up in the dressing room, and everybody knows that.
So do you have...
he's also a little bit of...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He's also a little bit of a scrappy guy. So, like, if anybody was going to answer the bell tonight, I think Walcott would have been up there. But, unfortunately, he's not with the team. So, I mean, Sean Day is a little bit of a bigger defenseman. He might be able to get a little scrappy. But other than that, I'm just not sure who on the team would be kind of willing to drop those gloves should things get a little out of hand.
So, with that being said, do you anticipate the Comets winning again tonight, or do the Crunch bounce back and win?
Oh, don't make me say anything about that.
All right, then I'll ask you one more really quick one with a minute left. I will not make you answer that. That's fair. I know predicting is so hard because I get it wrong all the time, too. With Jonah Gadjevich, we were talking about guys answering the bell. Listen, one of the things Jonah Gadjevich had always done, is, especially his first couple seasons, he's a veteran with the Comets now. So the Crunch got to take a look at, not only has this guy scored 11 goals, it seems like every game they play, he scores a goal.
He's good for at least one.
But he has the ability to drop the gloves. He's a bigger guy on that 6'1", 6'2", couple hundred pounds. The problem is, if he fights, he's been basically scoring all the goals for the Comets, it feels like. So who else steps up for them? Obviously, Gadjevich is a key for the Crunch to keep an eye on in both facets of the game. Agree or disagree if you scout the team?
Oh, I completely agree. You know, not only is he towards the top, you know, in the AHL league, but I mean, he's the top of the Comet scoring right now.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. You know, I think that Sam Annis is someone they're going to have to keep an eye on tonight. And, you know, looking at the defensive side of things, Jack Rathbone has a really good plus minus right now for the Comets. He's a plus 5, which is one of the highest on their teams right now. So he's going to be somebody defensively that I think Syracuse is going to have to kind of target. And if he's screening or if he's out there doing, you know, the things that he does, I think that they're going to have to kind of maybe try to get him off of his game so that Syracuse can get some offensive stuff going.
Jack Rathbone out of Harvard was Adam Fox of the Rangers' line mate, and his nickname is Rathbomb. You're talking about an NHL-ready shot. He can blast it from the blue line. Alexander Ackerman, thank you so much for joining. She's with Sin Bin News. You'll hear from her again on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Enjoy the game tonight. The last thing that we'll say today is next.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments. And okay?
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio,
ESPN,
and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Bringing a little conversation to close things out today with the last thing we'll say today from QSportsTalk on twitch.tv. Maybe it's a demographic thing in how much you are invested and care about, say, looking back at the Big East, the Georgetown SU rivalry. I would agree with a comment in there that, yeah, UConn, of course, I'd like to see him beat UConn, too. I pretty much want to see Syracuse go undefeated every single season, but that's really not attainable. That being said, as far as Syracuse is concerned and football, we had discussed briefly a quick conversation at the beginning of the Sportszilla Show talking about repairing the offensive line. You recall that?
Yes.
And I thought we'd find a little bit of time to expand on that. We ran out of it, obviously. But we're going to talk about it tomorrow. I just wanted to let everybody know, Stephen Bailey from 24/7 Sports, one of our guests tomorrow on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. Just wanted to put that out there. They're doing it by, it's really the biggest coaching staff and the biggest roster that Dino Babers has ever had. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they solve the problem. A couple of transfers, Willie Tyler out of Texas, we mentioned him, and Chris Bleich being eligible this year. So, yeah, there's a lot of good things happening, and I think we will build on this. And he got a new offensive line coach in Mike Schmidt, too. So not the former baseball player, for those that know that name, too. That's also a demographic thing. Get ready to get on the block with Brent Axe. Don't forget Syracuse Crunch Hockey a little bit later on tonight, around 6:45 is pregame. Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio, and the Yankees are tied 4-4. Talk about that, Axe.